He stumbled determinedly back into the sitting room, where he seemed to carry on talking to himself, tripping over the furniture and making beep-beep noises. A couple of minutes later, wearing his very placid face, Arthur followed him. Ford looked stunned. "Where have you been?" he demanded. "Making some coffee," said Arthur, still wearing his very placid face. He had long ago realized that the only way of being in Ford's company successfully was to keep a large stock of very placid faces and wear them at all times. "You missed the best bit," raged Ford. "You missed the bit where I jumped the guy. Now," he said, "I'll have to jump him all over again." He hurled himself recklessly at a chair and broke it. "It was better," he said sullenly last time, and waved vaguely in the direction of another broken chair, which he'd already got trussed up on the dining room table. "I see," said Arthur, casting a placid eye over the trussed-up wreckage. "And, what are all the ice cubes for?"
"What?" screamed Ford. "What, you missed that bit too? That's the suspended animation facility. I put the guy in the suspended animation facility. Well, I had to, didn't I?"
"So it would seem," said Arthur in his placid voice.
"Don't touch that!"
yelled Ford. Arthur, who was about to replace the phone, which was for some mysterious reason lying on the table off the hook, paused placidly. "Okay," said Ford, calming down. "Listen to it." Arthur put the phone to his ear. "It's the speaking clock," he said.
"Beep, beep, beep," said Ford, "is exactly what is being heard all over that guy's ship, while he sleeps in the ice, going slowly round a little-known moon of Sesiphrus Magna, the London speaking clock."
"I see," said Arthur again, and decided that now was the time to ask the big one. "Why?" he said placidly. "With a bit of luck," said Ford, "the phone bill will bankrupt the buggers." He threw himself sweating onto the sofa. "Anyway," he said, "dramatic arrival, don't you think?" Chapter 36. The flying saucer in which Ford Prefect had stowed away had stunned the world. Finally, there was no doubt, no possibility of mistake, no hallucinations, no mysterious CIA agents found floating in reservoirs. This time it was real, it was definite, it was definitely definite. It had come down with a wonderful disregard for anything beneath it and crushed a large area of some of the most expensive real estate in the world, including much of Harrods. The thing was massive, nearly a mile across, some said, dull silver in colour, pitted, scorched and disfigured with the scars of unnumbered vicious space battles fought with savage forces by the light of suns unknown to man. A hatchway opened, crashed down through the Harrods food halls, demolished Harvey Nichols, and with a final grinding scream of tortured architecture, toppled the Sheraton Park Tower. After a long, heart-stopping moment of internal crashes and grumbles of rending machinery, there marched from it down the ramp an immense silver robot, 100 feet tall. It held up a hand. "I come in peace," it said, adding after a long moment of further grinding, "Take me to your lizard." Ford Prefect, of course, had an explanation for this, as he sat with Arthur and watched the non-stop frenetic news reports on the television, none of which had anything to say other than to record that the thing had done this amount of damage, which was valued at that amount of billions of pounds, and had killed this totally other number of people, and then say it again, because the robot was doing nothing more than standing there, swaying very slightly, and emitting short, incomprehensible error messages. "It comes from a very ancient democracy, you see," said Ford.
"You mean it comes from a world of lizards?"
"No," said Ford, who by this time was a little more rational and coherent than he had been, having finally had the coffee forced down him. "Nothing so simple. Nothing anything like so straightforward. On its world, the people are people. The leaders are lizards. The people hate the lizards, and the lizards rule the people."
"Odd," said Arthur. "I thought you said it was a democracy."
"I did," said Ford. "It is."
"So," said Arthur, hoping he wasn't sounding ridiculously obtuse, "why don't the people get rid of the lizards?"
"It honestly doesn't occur to them," said Ford. "They've all got the vote, so they all pretty much assume that the government they voted in more or less approximates to the government they want."
"You mean they actually vote for the lizards?"
"Oh, yes," said Ford with a shrug, "of course."
"But," said Arthur, going for the big one again, "why?"
"Because if they didn't vote for a lizard," said Ford, "the wrong lizard might get in. Got any gin?"
"What?"
"I said," said Ford, an increasing air of urgency creeping into his voice, "have you got any gin?"